Is there a sheet here? Okay, let's get started. Ah, it's a good Ramban, I think. I mean, they're all good Rambans, actually, but this Ramban's, I don't know. I feel like it's fodder for, like, classic Sichas Musar. Okay, we ready? Oh, we started already, sorry. Okay, so Parshas Chayisara, Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Ches. So it is very, the Sukkim themselves are very straightforward towards the very end of the Parsha. It says at the top, Chayisara told us, because Chayisara Chafei goes through both, but okay, it's at the end of Chayisara. So it says, about the end of Avraham Avinu's life, Vayikva Vayamas Avraham, right, Avraham passed away, V'seva Tova, Zaken V'saveya. So what does that mean? Seva Tova means like an old age. Zaken, you have to figure out why we have so many synonyms for the same idea. He was old. He reached a ripe old age. V'saveya, and satisfied. Vayasef Elamav, and he was gathered to his people. Okay, so this Ramban, a couple of we mentioned this Ramban when we were doing Harava Satsmeya, whatever, a couple months ago. But I don't think we actually saw this Ramban inside. But says the Ramban, what does it mean he was old and he was satisfied? Zakein v'saveh, what does it mean satisfied? Says the Ramban, Shera'a kol mish alos libo, everything he could have hoped for, right? He had the son, he had two sons, he had the son who was following in his path, right? He had a long, he had many children, a long marriage to his beloved wife, he got remarried, he had material success, everything, you know, everything a person could want in this physical world, he had. V'sava kol tova. And he was just satisfied with all the good that he received. And he's like, wow, Baruch Hashem, I really was blessed in my life. V'chein yusva yamim. That's also the idea by Yitzchak Avinu. It says yusva yamim, I guess at least by the end of Yitzchak Avinu's life, he was satisfied with how his life turned out. You know, I'm happy. Shesav'a nafsho biyamim. I mean, to say it's like he's full of the days. You can imagine most people, they get to the end of their life, like, wow, I really should have spent more time with my kids, and I really should have prioritized my family, I should have spent more time learning, I shouldn't have put so much time into work. They'd be like, I know, I kind of wasted my time. And that's, they're saying, no, I'm satisfied, but I'm happy with how things worked out. V'logis aveh, he has no desire, shi'chad shubo hayamim davar, that anything should have been different. So like, Baruch Hashem, I'm happy with how things work. Almost the same exact expression. Right? David HaMelech, when he passed away at a ripe old age, and he was satisfied with his days, and he had wealth, he had honor. Okay, that's a pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. This tells us how Hashem's chesed is with the tzaddikim. He gives them a lot of bracha. And also in B, umida tova bahem shloyis avu b'mosaros. And also the midah tova from the tzaddik's perspective, he doesn't want luxuries. He doesn't want more than he has. He's happy. Kinin shenemar bahem ta'avas libo nasatalo. Like it says about tzaddikim, the desires of their heart you gave to them. V'lo kamo shenemar b'shar ha'anoshim oyev kesef lo yisba kesef. Not like the famous pasuk in Koheles, that for the average guy, if somebody loves money, he'll never be satisfied with money. The Amar Rebbe says in Koheles, Nicholas Rabba, in the Medrash, "Ein anam yotzi min ha'olam v'chatzita avosav biyado." A person does not leave this world with even half of his desire. He's always thinking about the next car he wants to buy. He wants to remodel his either the kitchen or like the man cave, whatever, depending on which person is in the family. And they want to think about, you know, oh, if I only had X amount of money for my kids, then they'd really have enough. Or X amount of money in my bank account just to, as a cushion, then I'd have enough. I need to get the newest watch. I need to get the newest phone. Oh, you get the things. So yesh biyado mana isave masayim. Somebody has 100, desires 200. Hisiga yado lemasayim isave laasos arbamim. So finally gets 200. Okay, I got to reach 400. Shnemar oyev kesef liyisba kesef. Somebody who loves money will never be satisfied with money. Okay, that's the ikar part of this Ramban. The next line is just another idea. Of Rishis Rabba, it says in the Medrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu mara lehem litzadikim matan scharim shu'as liten lehem li'olam haba. This idea that as a person is about to pass from this world, Hashem shows the tzaddikim what's in store for them in the next world. V'nashem sav'a v'hem yishenim. This beautiful, very peaceful image. And they're very satisfied, like, wow, Baruch Hashem. And then they sleep, meaning they pass away. Nis'oru ha'chachamim b'zeh. Chachamim also were sensitive to this word. What does it mean? V'svad, he was satisfied. Upir shu'akasav sh'omer v'sava b'mare hazu. So they explain that he's satisfied because he has this vision of this olam haba he's going to receive. That's a different pshat, says the Ramban. But the idea, the ikar part of the Ramban is a sense of just satisfaction with how their life worked out. You know, Baruch Hashem, I had a lot of bracha, and I'm happy with how it was. So this reminds me of, in a couple of parshios, we can just tie it into this, to these psukim here, when Yaakov finally meets up with Esav again, and he had sent through these malachim, this mincha, this offering of all these animals to Esav. And when they finally meet up, so Esav says to him, I don't need all your things, Baruch Hashem, Yishli Rav. I have a tremendous amount. And Yaakov says, I also don't need a Yishli Kol. I have everything I need. So Rashi says something a little bit different, I think, to what the Ramban's going with. We'll see the Kliyakar in a second, which is, I think, like what we're saying. Yesh li kol, says Rashi, kol sifukai, I have everything I need. Ve'esa viver b'loshon gaiva yesh li rav. Yosir v'yosir migirei tzorchi. I have so much. I have more than I need. I'm just overflowing with animals. I don't need them. But, and it could be what Rashi means, but the Kliyakar, when he's explaining this distinction of Kol versus Rav, he says, "V'yomer Esav Yeshli Rav, I have a tremendous amount. Mashma Rav aval lo kol. Meaning, I have a tremendous amount, but not a lot. In Rashi, you get the impression that Esav was saying he has more than Yaakov. But in the Kliyakar, it almost like psychologically it means I have less. I mean, I don't have everything that I need. I have a lot, but just I have a couple things I need. I can need a few more animals, but I still have a lot. V'Yaakov Amar ki Chanani Elokim v'chi Yeshli kol. Yaakov, you know, said, I have everything. Hashem bless me. I have everything I need." Even if they had all the money in the world, they have the perspective that they still need more. They have a lot, but they don't have kol. They don't have everything they could possibly imagine. Like Ach Amar Esav Yeshli Rav. If Esav says, "I have a lot, avalo kol ki adayin chasirim hema," they still are missing some things. Okay, etc. But the tzaddikim are the hefech. Whatever they have, they're satisfied with. So, first of all, I guess we'll look at like the more negative side. I feel like we understand this. I mean, I, as an adult, I don't know if as kids we understand this as much as even as you guys are becoming older. But the idea that I feel like whatever little money or big amount of money, usually in Israel it's a little bit amount of money, but whatever big amount of money you have plans for your money, okay? And whenever you kind of reach that stage, okay, I'm able to buy X, Y, or Z, now we're thinking about, okay, what's the next thing? Usually it gets bigger. Meaning it's good, like somebody should, you shouldn't buy like a new car too young. Because if you just buy a new car when you're 25, that means when you're 30, you have to buy a fancy car. You buy a used car when you're 25. By 30, you can get like a small new car. And then by 35, you got to get a fancy car. But people don't usually go from a nicer car to a less nice car. I mean, everything in life is kind of it's a process. It's a process of going a little bit nicer. Clothing, with a lot of things. Why is that? Because we kind of, we always want something. And we talked about this again like a couple months ago, but we don't actually satisfy a need. I need a car because to get from point A to point B. So if I have a car, I'll be satisfied. But there's something which is like irrational. I have this need for, sometimes it's not even any need at all. It's just like this theoretical idea, I need to have more money in my bank account. For what? What do you need it for? Just it'll make me feel better if I have more money. People have this desire to get more and more and more, but it's not actually filling any sort of need, so they're never going to be satisfied. But as opposed to tzaddikim, where it's not. I want to focus on something a little bit different. Not just that tzaddikim have the right perspective, and they view their money and all their brachas as from Hashem, and therefore they're like, whatever Hashem decides to give to me, that's going to be enough. But I don't know this Hasidic story so well. I think it was Reb Zusha. You guys can let me know. The one who was like, somebody came to the Rebbe and said, you know, I have so many tzaras, I don't have enough money for my daughter's shidduch, and we don't have any money for food in the house. So he said, go to, was it Reb Zusha? Who's going to, like, he'll be able to teach you, like, yeah, whatever. He'll be able to give you the answers. If I'm saying the story wrong, please jump in. Don't feel embarrassed. Okay, so this guy, he goes to Rav Zusha, and Rav Zusha, like, you know, see the water's dripping through his roof, and he's got like this one like Nebuchadnezzar like goat like outside the house, which is like he looks like he hasn't been fed in a few days, and the kids are there, and their clothing is torn, and they're all dirty, and they don't have any food. So Rav Zusha, this guy says, the Rebbe sent me to come to you, and you're going to teach me like how I can be more successful, or whatever. He's like, yeah, I don't know. Baruch Hashem, I've had so much bracha in my life. I don't know. I don't think I can teach you anything. I have so much mazel. Hashem always blesses me. Everything I need, I always have. So I'm just very fortunate. I don't know if I can really teach you. Like, you know, some people just aren't as lucky as me. Baruch Hashem, I'm not sure why the Rebbe sent you to me because I have everything I could possibly need. How could I teach you how to make do with less? But the point being, from whatever your perspective is, if you feel like this little tiny piece of bread and a little bit of butter that you have, like that's all you need, so then you're going to be happy. I don't think that's exactly what the Ramban is saying here. Okay? Go back to the Ramban at the very beginning. I don't think he means that the tzaddikim feel like every tiny little bit they could have this broken down car and the broken down house and torn clothes and a little bit of food, and they feel like, wow, it's like an overwhelming bracha from Hashem. First of all, what does the Ramban say at the beginning? Okay, he saw everything he could have wanted and he was satisfied with good. I'm skipping a few words, right? Right, and David Melech, when he passed away, he had everything he could want, and he had wealth, and he had honor. First of all, it's telling you the chesed of Hashem. Hashem blesses tzaddikim with a lot of bracha. It also means that tzaddikim don't always want more and more and more. But part of this, why they're satisfied, is they had so much bracha. And I want to tell you a little bit about, I feel like at the same time that we're expected from Hashem to be satisfied with what we have, Hashem wants us to enjoy the physical world. Hashem wants us to appreciate the brachas He's given us. Hashem, if someone was blessed, like Avram Avinu, he was very wealthy. David HaMelech obviously was very wealthy. It's not a bad thing at all. Hashem wants us to value it and appreciate it, as long as he recognizes that it's from Hashem. So look at source number three. It's Yerushalmi. I don't know if you've seen it before, but it's quoted in these kinds of discussions. Rav Chizkiya, Rav Cohen, Mishem Rav. Okay, we're quoting this din in the name of Rav. Asid Adam Liting Din Vecheshbon Al Kol Shirasa Eino Velo Acha. A person's in after 120 is going to have to give an accounting for everything his eyes saw, every delicious food, every delicious fruit. I think a pashup shot. Every fruit his eyes saw, he didn't eat. Hashem says, "Come eat my delicious fruits. I put you in this world to enjoy, at least to also enjoy." Rav Lazar, Rav Lazar, Chashash L'Hadash Muasa. He was very makbid about this teaching. Umatz Michlei Pritin. He would collect pruta to pruta. V'achil Bahon Michol Mila Chada B'Shata. And he would, every time there was a new thing in the market, he'd say, "Ah, I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to enjoy it." Hashem put us in this world with so many wonderful things, so much bracha. So Hashem says, "Enjoy it. Enjoy what I've given you. I don't want you to be here to feel like you're poor. And I want you to enjoy yourself. You're in this world. You have to accomplish a lot. You have to do a lot of mitzvot. You have to learn a lot of Torah. You have to convey that to the next generation. But it doesn't mean I don't want you to appreciate the beautiful world I've been in." There's the famous story about Rav Hirsch. You know the story about the Alps? You know the story about the Alps? Maybe? No? Why Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, he once took a vacation from Germany to the Swiss Alps, which, I don't know, I guess it's not that far, but I guess it was considered a little bit luxurious, a little bit of a luxury for a Rav in his position to take this vacation. So he said, "I'm afraid after 120 years, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, probably based on this Yerushalmi, no Shamshin, do you see my beautiful Alps that I have in the world? So I want to be able to go and appreciate the beauty of nature and then tell Hashem, yes, I appreciated your world. It's a beautiful world. So that's why I have to go to the Alps and see the Alps." Okay. So now, I don't know if this Kuzari is as well known, but also I apologize. The translation you have here is not a very readable translation. It's like an old English translation. This is a good translation, so I'll read it from here. You can try to follow along in yours. Also, not only were the words a little bit difficult, I feel like some of the actual meaning ended up being changed. Okay, so the context over here is that the Rav, right? We know the basic gist of the Kuzari, that it's l'chora, historical novel, meaning it's not really based on any actual documentation, but the idea that there was this kingdom that converted, that was true, and there was a Rav who came and trying to discuss with this king about Judaism. So Rav Yehuda Halevi used that story as an opportunity to just discuss some of the yesodos of Judaism. So there, the Rav says, part of their discussions, you know, it's so good to make brachas because it's just a good thing to make brachas. So the king says, "Why is it good to make brachas? It's annoying. Every time you want to eat something, you have to stop and you have to make bracha." So now says the rabbi, from 15. The rabbi said, again, I'm not reading what you have, but hopefully you can follow along more or less. The rabbi said, "Can it not be said that the complete person gains more pleasure when eating and drinking than a baby or an animal? Somebody who's mature, somebody who appreciates his food. You know, if you give a baby a steak, it'll probably make him sick. But you give a baby his milk, okay, he drinks it. Doesn't really think about it too much. Somebody who has a good meal, he enjoys it. You have to have a certain sophistication to appreciate that eating is a thing and you should enjoy it. Just as an animal is more prone to pleasure than a plant," okay, we can agree to that, "even though the plant is being constantly fed," I guess through photosynthesis, the plant's always getting food. It doesn't have any senses to enjoy it. An animal enjoys it. But people, mature adults, appreciate it even more. Right? The king said, the Kuzari, he said, "Yes, because of his superior sensory perception and ability to experience pleasure. Let us say we were to bring a drunkard everything he desired," right? Give this guy who's drunk. He would have good food, drink, and music. He'd have this beautiful party. He'd be amongst friends. His beloved would embrace him, etc. "And we did this to him while he was drunk." Okay? When he sobers up, he'd be told everything that happened. Instead of feeling like he had just gained, he'd be bereaved over this. He'd be like, "Wow, what a chaval. I just really missed out on a good time." And would react as if he had suffered a loss. Why? Meaning he sensed it. Doesn't he know that he sensed it when he was drunk? Because he was not in a state where he could detect and enjoy these pleasures when they happen. Okay, so far nothing about brachas. We're just talking about realities. Okay, then the rabbi said, "Preparing oneself for the sensation of pleasure and thinking about the contrasting lack of pleasure before the pleasure arrives," I think what he means is somebody who's about to have an apple, somebody's about to have a candy bar, is about to have a hamburger, thinking, "Wow, this is going to be delicious. You know, I have a tongue, and the tongue has taste buds, and they actually, this amazing phenomenon, they can convey to my brain a sense of enjoyment because it tastes like something." Okay, so you think, if I didn't have this hamburger, so I wouldn't be able to enjoy that. He thinks about that. Okay, that before the pleasure arrives only heighten the pleasurable experience. When you think about it, you stop and think that actually you can enjoy it more. This is one of the benefits of blessings, right, of brachas, for one who regularly makes them with the proper reflection and preparation. Because he can actually appreciate the experience he's about to have. They portray to the soul the type of pleasure about to be experienced, the appropriate expression of gratitude to the provider, right, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the contrasting lack of this pleasure that he would have received if not for the fact that Hashem enabled him to have this pleasure. This will heighten his enjoyment. An example of this is the bracha, you have kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this point. You could think that you could easily have been dead now. You therefore thank Hashem for having kept you alive. You have viewed life as a gift, and as a result, sickness and death, should they come, will be in light of your in light in your eyes. I don't know what that means. I think it means you should appreciate if everything's a gift. So even not having this gift, it's okay. It's a possibility. I understand it's all from Hashem. So if he wants a blessing with gifts, Baruch Hashem. If not, then that's also what he wants. You will have already pondered carefully and concluded that you have been receiving gifts all along from God, and that you are really worthy of being deprived of all His goodness because you are dust. But instead, Hashem is benefiting you with life and pleasure, and so you thank Him. And when He removed the pleasure from you, you also thank Him. Okay, etc., etc. So says the Kuzari, unbelievably sowed in brachas. Says the Kuzari, says the Rav of the Kuzari, that what's the point of brachas? The point of brachas is we shouldn't go through life like animals. We shouldn't go through life kind of just not appreciating that we have the ability to enjoy Hashem's world. Every bracha we make, if it's Shechianu, if it's more so Birkas Hanen, and maybe everything, maybe in Birkas HaMitzvah, it's wow, appreciate the opportunity, what it means to be in this world. And so as opposed to brachas being a nuisance and a burden, it's like, I just want to eat this burger, like, oh, I have to wash. Yeah, the opposite. It should be stop. Don't be an animal. Don't be somebody who's eating constantly without appreciating it. Somebody who stops and thinks about, wow, this is from Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for this ability to enjoy myself. So then that actually heightens his sense of pleasure. I think this idea of the Kuzari tying back to the Ramban, I think they work very nicely. The idea that Avraham Avinu, David HaMelech, Yitzchak Avinu was Svayamim. They were satisfied. A certain sense of well, Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem for all the bracha you gave me. As opposed to saying that Tzaddik, he doesn't care what Hashem gives him, even though this could be true, it doesn't care. He could be poor, he could have torn clothes and no food, little bit of food, and his broken down house, and he would be happy. That could be true, but that's not the focus of this Ramban. But if that Tzaddik was Zochet to have bracha from Hashem, and he has nice clothes, and he has a nice house, and he has good food, all the more so he's gonna use that as an opportunity to be satisfied and thank Hashem for all the brachas that He's given him. Because although it's true that you should be happy with whatever Hashem decides to give to you, but the Yisod, I think here, this idea of Siva Yamim, of being happy and satisfied, right? Sipur Chaste Hashem Betzadikim. Hashem blesses Tzadikim with a lot of bracha. Because Hashem would be happy for us to be happy in His world. It's like, the way I envision it, it's like a father and a child. The father would be, he wants his child to grow up, to be mature, to be an Oved Hashem, to be responsible. He always wants his kid to have some treats every now and then. He wants his kid to enjoy himself. That's what makes the father happy, when he sees his child who's smiling. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy his world. That's the yisod of this Yerushalmi, that's the yisod of this Kuzari, that's the point of brachas. And that can be the yisod of this Ramban also, at least part of the yisod of this Ramban. That Hashem sees the tzaddikim, they were svayamim, because not only they were happy with what they didn't have, but they really appreciated all the brachas from Hashem and all this source of all the wealth and kavod and David HaMelech and Avraham Avinu's time, they saw as a source of blessing from Hashem, and therefore they're able to appreciate it even more than somebody who just is going and just looking for more money and the newest car. He never stops to think. The person who's eating all the time, he never stops to appreciate what it means. After the person who has more control over himself and realizes that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he truly can have a sense of pleasure and enjoyment. Okay, Adkan.